thankful for that. Thankful for you. Thankful for a great church that desires to live on mission together. And we have a few things to talk about before I hop in the sermon. Today, I first want to welcome all those who are joining us online. I know many people will choose to watch us online before they ever step into this room in person. So thanks for joining with us today. It's a privilege to be with you. And thanks for all those who are stepping into this room for the first time, maybe ever or in a long time. Welcome back or welcome to Christ Community. I hope you felt loved and appreciated. And today, we're giving away these free t-shirts because it's kickoff Sunday and we want to be generous. We want to be a generous church. And so we have four different colors. They're all not pink, okay? And it's not really pink, guys, okay? So chill. So there's some opportunities out there. You can only have one. I know you're going to want more. And so we're working on that, an option for you to purchase more if you'd like. But today you get a free one. And heads up, they shrink. And so Drew tried that one on yesterday after he washed his, and it didn't look good here, I heard. So get whatever you want there. And yeah, so we really highlight membership here at Christ Community. We want to appreciate those who are stepping into membership. And over the last month, we do this at the end of every month. Over the last month, we've had 12 new families join with us at Christ Community. This means they've gone through Growth Track, they've met with one of our pastors, and so I want to welcome them into our church family. I want to welcome Miss May Baugh. If I say your name, just stand up. Miss May here today? I don't know if Miss May's here. Sarah Lafferty and Dennis and Patrick Lousy. There we go. Lousies, hey. Mark and Susan Zimmerman, Jonathan Grace Hackleton. Yeah, y'all stand up. Come on, Zimmerman, stand up. Let's stay standing. The Hackletons, Mary Lousy, Peter and Rich and Rachel Brandt, Rich and Janina Appel, the Appels, Max and Mary Messenger, Lauren Sloan, Victoria Ballard was in the first service, and then Bailey and Joseph Hamilton. All right, they're all standing up. I'll give them a hand. Welcome to membership at Christ Community. Y'all can have a seat. Bailey and Joseph, they had to join because she's our new kids director, so they had no option there. But Joseph's on the stage playing the bass today, grateful for them. And just a heads up, if you're looking to step into membership at Christ Community, we have a Growth Track one day coming up. Growth Track happens usually over four Sundays a month, but Growth Track one day is September 12th. It'll happen in the cafe. We provide lunch. It's about 2.5-3 hours. And so we've already got 20 people signed up for that. Sign up. Join with us in membership. You'll get to sit down with the pastor, get to meet them. And we'd just love to help you take the next steps into our church family. One of the things we do here every year is we have a business meeting. We call it a family meeting. That will take place on Sunday night, September 19th. That meeting, we will vote on a budget. Next Sunday, you'll be given a handout on the way in regarding a new church budget, and we'll provide opportunities for you to speak to one of us and ask questions if you'd like, but you'll get that next Sunday. In the next 2 weeks, we'll hand that out, and then on September 19th, we'll meet in this room at 5:30 p.m. for a quick family meeting. Those last about 8 to 10 minutes, then we'll move into a Christ Community United, where we just celebrate all that God's done here through Christ Community this year. That's coming up, and then finally, we have a men's conference coming up. We've never done a men's conference, and I'm really excited about this men's conference on September 26th. My friend Noe Garcia will be here preaching on that Sunday morning. Noe's an evangelist. He's awesome. And he's going to preach on that Sunday morning, and he'll preach our men's conference with me and my friend Marcus Hayes. And it's just going to be a great night, all right, men? So we're praying for 200 men to show up. It's $20 for adults and $10 for students, all right? So need the men to rally on September 26th at 5:15 p.m. for dinner and 6 o'clock for the conference. All right, that's a lot. That's what's coming up. Let's dive into the Word together as we start a new series called On Mission Together. This series comes from the book of Acts, chapter 2. All right, we preached through Acts about a year and a half in 2019 and 20. And in Acts, chapter 2, there's this spot where you see the New Testament church gathered at the end of chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. And I really wanted to take time to dive into that over a period of weeks and see what their gathering and what they did has to teach us today. And from that, we really come up with these purposes of the church. So let's read together Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. We'll go through 47 and then we'll pray. Luke writes the book of Acts. He writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, beginning with verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this picture we have in your word of the New Testament church doing then what we do today. Lord, would you teach us from it? Would you speak to us as we look into these sort of purposes of your church? Even today, as we look at what it means to exalt you, would you teach us, Lord? In your name we pray, amen. We sit today in a long line of other believers, of other Christians who've done what we're doing together. For 2,000 years, the church has gathered to sit under the teaching of the word, to fellowship together, to smile together, laugh together, to share together. They've gathered in homes throughout history, some privately, some publicly. And right now, we do today what they've done then. But also right now, at the same time, other churches who are gospel churches believe Jesus Christ died and rose to life and holds out forgiveness of sin and eternal life for all who would come to him in faith. Right now, churches are gathering hundreds upon hundreds across the Eastern time zone right now, right? Now, 2 hours from now, someone else will gather in another time zone. And last night, in the middle, while we were sleeping, a church like ours gathered somewhere across the world. And later this afternoon, other churches will gather to do what we do, because we are part of this global kingdom of God's people. And right now, in this hour, God will save hundreds of people across the globe. Some of you today may trust Christ. There may have been some people who trusted Christ in our last service. But right now, across the globe, people are trusting in Jesus. Because this is the mission of God. God has promised that he would save his people from across the globe. And we are a part of this history-wide, worldwide, heaven-wide kingdom of God. But what exactly are the purposes for which God has called us? What are the priorities by which God has called you and I as his people? The question comes to many, what is my purpose in life? I can't tell you how many times I've had that question come to me from students, from college students, from adults. Some of the students who are seniors are trying to figure out what their purpose is. Some college students right now are trying to figure out what their purposes are. There are some who are maybe 65, 70 still going, I'm just still trying to figure out what I'm going to do when I grow up. Right? We're all wondering what our purpose is. For some people, some live for fame. Will I do enough so that my name is remembered long after I'm gone? Some may live for money. Will I produce enough so that my family is covered after I'm gone? Some live for work. Will I work enough so that I can retire early and just enjoy the fruit of my work? Some work for religion. Will I do enough good things so that God will accept me into his eternity? They work for religion. Some people really don't work for anything. They just work for themselves. They deny all morals. They deny all truth. They deny all creation. And they live for their own desires. But what is the purpose for the church? What is the priorities for our body of believers gathered together and then scattered throughout the week? What is it that God has called us to? Foundationally, the church exists for mission. It exists for mission. This is the core principle that spans the whole Bible. It underpins every ounce of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. The Bible is a missions story. From Genesis to Revelation, God is working to bring every people group, a person from every people group, from every tribe, toward his throne. God works to bring people from every people group to his throne one day. And from Genesis to Revelation, God calls his people to join him on this mission. Christopher Wright wrote a book called The Mission of God, and he says this, Jesus did not give a mission to his church. He formed a church for his mission. The church is God's plan A for God's mission. We are, and with us, we're called together to be on mission for God. What are those priorities? Well, over the next 6 weeks, we're going to look at how we're called to exalt God, how we're called to encounter God together, how we're called to edify believers and build believers up for ministry and service. We're going to look at how we're called to encourage one another, and how we're called to evangelize the world, and how we're called to equip each other for ministry. So today we're looking at this idea of exalting God, because we together are gathered around this beautiful gospel. And we would not be here if not for this gospel. Because more importantly than anything we've talked about, we wouldn't have each other if not for God's marvelous work of salvation in each of our lives. If not for the gospel, this meeting would be pointless. If not for the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, this whole gathering is not needed. It's a waste of our time. If Jesus were not alive right now, there would be no mission and there'd be no point to what we do. But the truth is, he is alive, and that changes everything about our life right now. It changes everything about what we do today, about what we do tomorrow morning. It changes everything about when we go out and when we come home. If you're a believer today, your life has been radically changed and radically reoriented, not around your life, but around the mission of God. And we're called to exalt him above all. See, at Christ Community, our church is on mission together to exalt God with our lives daily. The primary way we exalt God is through our worship of him. The idea of worship means adoration. It means to honor, to bring respect to God. That word worship means worth. Worth. And there's only one who has ultimate worth, and it is the Creator God. It's the one who formed heaven and earth. It's the one who knows every bit of you, who created you like you are, who put your nose in place and your feet in place, and knows that that one toe is longer than the other toe and it's weird and you don't like it. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows everything there is to know. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows everything. And so we're called to bring our worth to him because he made us. To exalt means to hold someone in very high regard, to raise in rank, power, or character. If you just were to read through the scripture, if you just dive into the Psalms, you're going to find all these Psalms having to do with the worship of God, his worthiness. And David and other writers praise God for his wonderful work. They praise God for his steadfast love and faithfulness. They say, worthy are you. The Psalms write over and over the praise of God, how he lasts from generation to generation, how his love extends forever and ever, and how his reign is high. And we, in this room, sit as those who've been born in this generation. Like, think of it, this blows my mind. We are born at this moment, in this generation, and you were saved for this moment and for this generation. You were saved for now. And the world is crazy right now, right? Like, you got Afghanistan, just like, what is happening over there? You got a Category 4 hurricane about to blow into New Orleans, about to blow into Louisiana in general. You got Haiti that's still reeling from the devastating loss of over 2,000 people. You have terror attacks. I mean, you got all these things going on. And you and I sit here alive right now in 2021 in the middle of COVID still. What is our purpose in all this? Like, what is our mission? Like, why would you put me here, God, instead of 1800 or instead of 1200 or instead of 2089? Well, foundationally, we're here to exalt God with our life, to exalt him daily, to live for him. I tried to think about a clear definition of what it means to have Christian worship. What is Christian worship? And with the help of some friends, this is what we came up with. Christian worship is the daily practice of offering our lives as living sacrifices to God. It is expressed by coming together regularly in a local church for encouragement and service to God and lived out in a community of believers on mission together. This is the longest definition I've ever put on the screen, unlike Pastor Matt's main points usually. Christian worship is the daily practice of offering our lives as living sacrifices to God. It is expressed by coming together regularly in a local church for encouragement and service to God and lived out in a community of believers on mission together. Here's what I want you to pay attention to, that word daily. Worship is a daily act. Not just a weekly act, not just something we come together on Sundays to do and then we go live our lives fairly independent of anything Christian or religious. Just to come back and do it again. No, daily practice of living for God. And why do we live for God daily? Daily exalting Him, daily adoring Him, daily honoring Him. For what purpose? Because of who He is and for what He has done. Two things that I really want to highlight there, creation and redemption. God has created you and I. God's created this world. You just go look at the beginning of the Bible and you see the whole thing belongs to God. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created. You go to the back chapter, the last verse of Revelation, and when you get to the end of Revelation and you just read what what John writes in Revelation, he says in verse 22, he who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. The whole book is about mission, and God owns this mission, and God controls this mission, and God created everything that was to create. Everything that you have to enjoy in this world, God has created. Not only that, He's created each one of us, and He knows us. He knows every public thing we do and every private thing that we do. He knows His children who've confessed Him as Lord. He knows the condition of your heart right now, the condition of your soul right now. And some of you feel weary, and some of you feel exhausted, and some of you feel tired of fighting that sin, and some of you feel so sick of COVID and its effect on your family, and so many feel so scared, so lonely. You feel ashamed of the sin you've committed. And God knows it, because He created you, and He knows where you're at right now. But much more than His creation, He has redeemed us. If you're in Christ today, we must understand that exalting God first means understanding this gospel. Years ago, I came up with my own sort of personal way of sharing the gospel, and I call it 8 words every Christian should know. And it goes like this: God loves, sin separates, Jesus saves, we believe. The reality is that God loves His creation. He created all things to glorify Him, but sin came at the fall in Genesis 3, and sin separated mankind from God. And because of our sin, we're all born into sin, and we're all broken and separated. God is holy, we are not. And because of that eternal separation, there's no way we can be religious enough or work hard enough to earn God's favor, because foundationally it's not what we do, but who we are that separated us from God in our hearts. But Jesus saves. The Bible says that God loved His creation so much that He made a way for His people to come to know Him, and that's through sending His Son, Jesus, to live a perfect life, a life you and I could not live, to die a death that you and I deserve to die, to bear the punishment for our sin on the cross so that we would not have to bear that punishment. And He died, though He was righteous, He died for the unrighteous, for you and I. Breathed His last breath, and 3 days later, God rose Him, brought Him back to life to show He has victory over death and over sin and has the power to forgive. And now anybody that would come to Him and believe this gospel might be saved. And God works now through His Spirit to redeem people back from death and causes them to become alive. And we cry out in faith, believing Jesus died in our place for our sin. This is the good news of the gospel. It's not by works, but only by grace, only by faith in Jesus Christ. And the beautiful thing about this is that sinners can be forgiven and made right with God now because of Jesus Christ. And anybody can be saved. Like, you may think you're lonely or sad or sinful and no good and lousy and far away from God and there ain't no way. That was my story too. That was my story. But God saved even me. While I was still a sinner, God sent Christ to die for me. And anybody that wants to be saved can be saved. I mean, think about the good news here. Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. We in this room, if you're a Christian today, are a bunch of sinners who've been forgiven for our sin. A bunch of unrighteous people who've been made righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. And right now, though we still struggle in sin, we are eternally loved in Jesus Christ. And that's good news. Like, that is worth exalting God for. Tim Keller says it like this. The gospel is this. We are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus than we ever dared hope. That's the gospel, is that we're deeply broken but deeply loved. And Jesus is coming back. And that's good news. And all will be made right. So in light of believing the gospel, we respond to God really in three ways. And I think Acts 2 helps us see these three ways. First way we respond is in surrender. We exalt God by surrendering our lives to him by faith, both at salvation and every day after. Consider again what happened. Verse 41. So those who received his word were baptized. That's the first step of obedience. If you're wondering, how do I obey God? If you've given your life to Christ, maybe you've, over the course of attending here, you've sort of gone, you know what? I didn't believe this stuff when I got here. But now I believe it. I believe this gospel, and I believe Jesus is mine, and I believe this. And you've come to know God through Jesus Christ. You've come to believe. Maybe you've prayed a prayer and just trusted in Jesus, whatever way, but you go, I believe this. If you've never been baptized, if you've never done what we saw today take place, we had three more in our first service, I would invite you to be baptized, to surrender and say, you know what, I'm trusting in Jesus, I'm going to be baptized. It says, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Were added means they were added to the church. They became members of this church now. They locked arms, they joined with them, and their lives radically were reoriented away from what they were doing in the world to who they were defined as, now to be identified with Jesus Christ. They surrendered it all, and they said, no more over there. I'm going all in with who Christ has called me to be. It says, and they devoted. What a new word for them. They devoted themselves. Their whole life. I'm surrendered to you, God. And they're devoted to new things. Total change, right? Away from their pagan ways or their previous religious ways, and now they are devoted. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, which means they sat under the word of God, and the fellowship, that means of the saints, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. They were, here in this moment, surrendered. They walked away from who they were, and they surrendered to who God was calling them to be. See, there is joy in knowing God. Jesus says in John 10, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Abundant life is a good thing we all desire. David says in Psalm 16, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Fullness of joy is found in knowing God and delighting in him. And so the way surrender really works is, yes, we initially surrender our lives to following Christ. At 12 years old, I gave my life to Christ. God worked in my soul. He brought me to life. I believed on him for salvation. At 12, he fully forgave me, past sin, present sin, future sin, all gone. Fully loved in Christ and known for him. My unrighteousness for his righteousness. And I surrendered. But you know, as time grew and I became a student and I liked girls and I liked Ronnie a lot, and even today, you know, the idols of my heart creep up. We all feel that tension, don't we, of like what we want versus what God wants. We feel it daily. Every day, I meet with God just before my day gets going. And what I'm doing in that moment is going, Lord, I surrender today. All my loves, all my affections, God, I just surrender Ronnie to you today. I don't want my way today. I want your ways. We surrender to God, reminding ourselves of whose we are because of the gospel. We surrender our lives to him at salvation, but then also we come to him daily in surrender. Second word I want to highlight is this word sacrifice. Sacrifice. We exalt God by offering our lives as a living sacrifice to him daily. When we talk about what these New Testament Christians were doing, the immediate response of those who were baptized was gathering in community. They gathered in two specific ways. They gathered publicly, and the temple is where they would go for the apostles' teaching. If you were just to dive into verse 46, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. So you see that they're gathering at the temple for the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, sitting under the word, and then they're going into homes, various homes for breaking of bread, which is usually in relationship to the Lord's Supper or communion, and they're talking about the scriptures together, what they had heard or what's going on in their life. They're doing the one another's together. They're living in community together when just days before they weren't. They understood that their whole life now had changed, that they did no longer belong to themselves or the world, but they belonged to God. And they were to reorient their whole life to this idea. Because when Jesus saves a person, our life is now lived in everyday worship. Everything we do, everywhere we go, public and private, alone or with others, we are to bring glory to God. And these New Testament believers lived as those who had presented themselves to God in obedience. Where do I go? What do I do, Lord? How do I serve you? Who disciples me? I want to know your word. I want to be all in with you. See, what we do between Sundays is vital to God's mission. What you do between Sundays is so vital to God's mission. This is about an hour and 15 minutes a week. But what happens when you leave here and are sent out between now and when you come back next Sunday are so vital. I mean, you're talking, we do today for an hour and 15 minutes of worshiping and glorifying God. And you and I have the opportunity to leave here this week and be little gospel lights all across this community, all across Charlotte, all across whatever video conferencing you're doing to whatever parts of the world you're talking to. You have a responsibility to exalt God in every means you have been given. And you have the opportunity to forward the mission of God together. You do. You're called to do greater things than I perhaps will do from this stage this week. I'm preaching the gospel to you, but if you all went out and you shared the gospel with just two people, that's double what I'm able to do. This is the forwarding impact of God calling you as a Christian, as his church. A church is not a building, a church is a people. So you don't necessarily come to church. No, the church comes together to worship. You come here to worship because we are the church and you're called to go. You think about what Romans 12 says. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. We who profess to be a Christian are called to daily present our bodies, our lives, to God as a sacrifice. I come to him daily bringing all of myself, my name, my fame, my desires, my will, my purpose, and lay it all down before him in a humility to say, Lord, I am yours. Yes, I surrender, but I am yours. I want to be on guard. I want to be holy today. I want to guard my mouth today. I want to guard my feet today. I want to guard my eyes today. I want to live for you today. I want to be an offering for your glory wherever that might be, Lord. I belong to you. Yes, I surrender my will, but all of me, Lord, belongs now to you, and I lay it before you to be used. We are to daily present our lives to him in humbleness and holiness, seeking to bring him pleasure in this life. And in doing this, we exalt King Jesus and put God in his rightful place in our life. So we're to surrender our lives to exalt him. We're to sacrifice ourselves to exalt him, coming to him as a daily sacrifice. But three, we're to offer our lives in service. Service. We exalt God by giving our lives to him in service daily. We see this in verses 46 and 47, and it says, and day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. Just notice these words. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. They understood that the source of their income, the source of all of their valuables, the source of all they had wasn't from their own doing and their own good skill, but from God. And they were good stewards, using who they were and what they had for the good of others. They offered their lives in service to God. When we belong to God, our lives are to be offered in service to Him. And there is this true gladness that comes from this. When we come to understand the blessings of knowing God, we can't help but be glad and generous with our time, our resources, our voice, and our home. Our lives belong to Him in service. So in light of salvation, our only response should be, here I am, Lord, use me in service, use my resources in service, use my skill set in service, use my voice in service, use all of me in service to you, and give me the confidence in your spirit to do that, the confidence in your word to do this. You know, some of you use your skill in service in various ways. We have people in our church who use their skill of service to encourage others, to bless others. Some of you have an opportunity to serve others in your neighborhood, a neighbor. Some of you have employees that you can serve by generosity or by sharing or by some way. I have a member who came to my house recently to help redo my front lights because I don't know what I'm doing. And he was like, hey, I know, I'll come serve. And that's a blessing to me. They used a gift. And in that service is a natural exaltation of God, because humble service exalts God, because Jesus is the ultimate servant. And so we're called to exalt God through our service to Him in our lives, in whatever way that looks like for you, to serve God. And the reason we do these things is because the gospel has so reoriented our life. I mean, in terms of this whole series on Mission Together, the gospel is the foundation of all of this. The gospel is the foundation of the church. The gospel is the sturdy thing that we stand on that assures us that everything we do to exalt God is built off of this. And we are secure in the gospel. That's why it's so important for us as the church to know the gospel, to be articulate about what the gospel is. That Christ came to die for sinners, died on the cross for sinners, and was raised to life, and holds out salvation for anyone that would come to Him in faith. This is the truth of the gospel, that is this life-changing message that should cause us to have gladness in our souls and joy in our souls, and not be hopeless like the rest of the world. Greg Gilbert says this: the biblical gospel is like fuel in the furnace of worship. The more you understand about it, the more you believe it and rely on it, the more you adore God both for who He is and for what he has done for us in Christ. The more you understand the gospel, the more you want to live for the Lord. And this is our mission, to exalt God together by offering our lives to Him daily. God, here I am. God, use me. You look at, see what Isaiah says. It says, he says, oh God, I exalt you forever and ever. Here I am, use me. You see what David says. Your throne goes from generation to generation. Oh God, here I am. A humble surrender, a humble sacrifice, humble service for the glory. This is why we gather and this is why we scatter, for the exaltation of God, our Redeemer. This is our purpose. And we are gathered today, and we will scatter today as those who have purpose, and those who have life, and those who have meaning, and those who have a mission. Why? Because, church, we were once dead in our sins and trespasses, and now we've been made alive in Christ Jesus our Lord. We were once lost, and now we're found. We were those who didn't have a home, and now we got a mansion in eternity for all of life. We have all these things because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We were prisoners, but now we've been set free and we're running. We were hopeless, but now we have hope. We had no joy, but now we have full joy. You just keep going. We were beggars, but now we're royalty. We were lonely, but now have a friend, and oh, what a friend we have in Jesus. We were once far away from God, but now are brought into His kingdom. And if that doesn't give you joy, then the question is, what will? And whatever will let you down. True everlasting joy is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it changes the way we think about this life, and it changes the way we think about Monday morning and Wednesday afternoon and Thursday evening and Saturday, wherever you're at. It makes us go, oh God, I want to exalt you in this moment. This might be the opportunity to lead someone to Jesus. This might be this is someone who just needs an encouraging word. This might be my opportunity right now, because we've been born in this generation and saved in this generation. And we've been called in this generation for the furthering of the gospel now, not then. And we must be on mission together. And listen, if you do not know Christ, if you do not know this gospel, if this does not excite you, the question is, do you know him? Have you experienced life change? Because you can know your purpose today. If you feel inadequate or insecure or ineffective, I'd love for you to meet the one who can give you security and give you significance and give you meaning. Because God loves his people. He's inviting you to know him today. And some of us in this room, maybe you're someone who, I think there's probably three people here, someone who has surrendered to God and you believe him and you're living for him on mission and you're all in, right? And there's some others who think they know, yeah, I think I believe this thing. I mean, I think I'm surrendered. I don't really know. Maybe. And there's others who have not believed this gospel. You've never given your life to Christ. You've never surrendered to knowing him. Well, I invite you to come to him today by faith through Jesus Christ. I invite you to come to know him today. Whoever you are, maybe you are someone who had a confession of knowing Christ and you're just not walking with him. Today, come home. I wanted to give some quick diagnostic questions for us today. Three questions to consider to help you process some of these things. The first question is this. Is God exalted in your commitment to your church family? Is he exalted in your commitment to your church family? Is there joy in coming here to worship him because of what he's done for you? Is there joy in gathering with your community group to share and pray? I'll tell you this right now. Coming here on Sundays is great. And I love that. I want you to be faithful here. But it's not enough. You can come here and you can sit for an hour and 15 and you can worship Jesus and not be known. Community groups are very important for your life. Community is where you bear the burdens together. It's where you share who you really are. It's where you have accountability. Do you have anyone in your life who you can go to and say, man, I'm really struggling right now, or my aunt has COVID and I'm afraid she's not gonna make it. Or I looked at some stuff I shouldn't have looked at this week. Or my wife, or my husband, or I got this sickness, or life is hard, or I'm fearful. Do you have that kind of community where you're breaking bread and you're praying together and you're walking? You need that. Like, you need that. Today after this service, we're going to have community group connect. You can connect in there. You meet some people. There's no long-term commitment. You can dive into community briefly and check things out. I encourage you to stay. Eat lunch with us and connect. You need community. Is God exalted in your commitment to your church family? Secondly, is God exalted in your personal commitment to him daily? When it's just you and the Lord, is God honored in the time you spend with him? When's the last time you had a one-on-one time in the Word, in prayer, just you and the Lord? If you haven't, maybe this afternoon's a good time to start. Maybe tonight before you go to bed, it's just you and the Word. If you need a reading plan, let us know. We'll get you one. We want to help foster a healthy rhythm in your life. We'll talk more about that next Sunday. But is God exalted in your personal commitment to him daily? Are you in his Word? Does he hear you praying to him? And number three, is God exalted in your daily life by the things you give your time, energy, and money to? Are you exalting God with your profession, in your office, in your free time, with your possessions? God calls us to be good stewards of his resources. Are you stewarding those resources well? Are you generous? Does God see you seeking to honor him in your decisions and your relationships? If not, listen, the good news is we can just tell him, Lord, I've erred here and I'm sorry and I'm here. I'm committed. I hear you. I hear you speaking to me, Lord, and I receive that. How's the Lord inviting you to respond today? Every one of us can go to the Lord right now and confess. Let's go before the Lord right now together. How is the Lord speaking to you? If you are one of those who does not have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, if you do not know Christ today, I invite you to believe on him today. It's a simple prayer from your heart to God. Just tell him, Lord, I believe. I believe you died for me. You gave your life for me. You rose to life. And I put my faith in you today, Jesus. I surrender to you. Just confess him right now. Lord, I make you Lord of my life. For others, maybe the Lord is speaking to you and you're going, man, I'm not exalting God in my life. Then just confess that. Lord, I'm not exalting you and I want to, desire to. Take a few minutes later today and just write out two or three ways you could immediately make some changes. Lord, I thank you for the work you're doing in our church and the way you're calling us into just deeper commitment, deeper fellowship, and deeper mission. God, we don't want to grow into a large church that has little faith. God, we are called to be disciples of Jesus who are all in, who can sing in Christ alone and say, I give my all, I give my life, who can really say, sing those words and mean them. But we don't want to be the kind of people who sing words and lyrics that we don't really mean. Lord, help us to live lives that are surrendered to you and sacrificial to you and who are in service to you daily. Help us to know that you have saved not just our souls for eternity. We don't just have some get out of hell card. Our lives are surrendered to you to be used now to save other people from going to hell. And you've called us now to live on mission, and the way we exalt you from this moment is to go be your church scattered in this community, exalting you by uplifting people, loving our enemies, caring for those who are in need, and sharing this gospel, and praying and being the hands and feet of Jesus. Lord, would you help us? We thank you today. In your name we pray. Amen.